is the Parenting for Faith podcast from BRF Ministries. Parenting for Faith exists to help you help the children and teens in your life to meet and to know God. We do this through online events, courses, and resources, and you can find out more at parentingforfaith.org.
Hello and welcome to the Parenting for Faith podcast. It is so lovely to have you with us. My name's Lucy Rycroft. I'm your host, as always. And this season, we have been looking at connecting with God through different hobbies and talents and interests that our children may have, as well as different seasons they might go through. And I hope you found it really useful. If you haven't listened to any of the other episodes, then do hop back and see which topics float your boat. But today, we're going to be looking at dance. We've got a fabulous guest, as always. But before we get there, I wanted to ask you, where do your kids stand with worship? Like, I don't know about you, but I sometimes look across at my kids when we're in church, and some of them are really getting involved and singing, and some of them aren't. Worship to my kids, I think, often means singing. And to be honest, to me, it often means singing. Are they singing? They're engaged in worship. Are they not singing? They're not engaged with worship. Now, I know in my head that is not right, but sometimes that's how it feels. So we have a great event for you if you also want to broaden out how your family defines and experiences worship. And it is next Tuesday at 8 p.m. live on the Facebook page, on the Parenting for Faith Facebook page. We have none other than Becky Drake from Worship for Everyone. I'm sure you sing many of her songs in your churches. She's going to be joining us in a Facebook Live, chatting to Becky Sedgwick from Parenting for Faith, all about worship. What is worship? How can we encourage a culture of worship in our homes, in our families? How do we broaden that definition of worship? I am super excited for that. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be taking some notes for my own family. And I hope you can join us too for that, because I think it's going to be so relevant for all ages. Now, if you've never been to a pop-up small group before on our Facebook page, it's really easy. You literally just go to our Facebook page, Parenting for Faith, at 8 p.m. next Tuesday. If you can't make it, don't worry. We record them all and put them on our website. But why not invite a few friends round? Why not grab some snacks and some drinks, make it into a social occasion? Watch the content. It'll take about half an hour. And on our website, we have a handout with some discussion questions. Now, you can just go for it if you want, just chat naturally about what you've just seen. But if you'd like some questions to get things going in your discussion, then they are all there for you on our website. We'll pop the link in the bio here so you can get to it easily. But why not do that? Because it's so encouraging when we walk this parenting journey together with the people in our communities. Fabulous. It's so cool to have you here. It's so good to be here. And I'm so delighted to hand over to Ruth Carpenter, who's going to lead us through this topic today of connecting with God through dance.
To help us think through the topic of connecting with God through dance, I'm so delighted to welcome Ruth Carpenter onto the podcast today. Ruth trained as a contemporary dancer before moving into the fitness industry, specializing in Pilates. And she's now the founder of Psalms and Stretches, a faith-based movement and meditation class, as seen on BBC One, which is rather exciting. Ruth lives in London with her husband and two young children. Ruth, welcome to the Parenting for Faith podcast.
Thank you. It's so lovely to be here. And that was a lovely intro.
Well, you gave it to me. So
she knows all this stuff about me.
We do our research. Ruth, it's great to have you here. Can you just share a little bit about how and when your love of dance developed? Tell us your story in terms of dance.
I was sent to dance classes as a really young child. I did them in my play school. I have this kind of weird remembrance of doing ballet with, you know, the milk cartons and the different colour straws and that kind of blurry time in my memory. So it's almost like I don't remember not dancing. And it's just always been something I loved. It's kind of like second nature of, you know, you learn how to walk and to run and to write, and dancing was just part of that. I continued dancing just because I sort of thought, I'll just carry this on until someone tells me to stop doing it. And that's probably how I chose to do a degree in dance in the end, because I just didn't ever want to stop.
That's so lovely to hear. Your passion shines through so well. And tell me about when you came to faith. Whenabouts was that in your life, and how did that kind of intertwine with your gift of dance, or were the two kind of quite separate for a while? Just tell us a little bit about the story of that journey.
So rather like learning to dance, I went to church as a very young child. And so I was part of a Christian family, and it just was like learning everything else about life. Faith was part of that, and my relationship with God. So I didn't always go to church as a teenager. I started sort of resisting it, wanting everything to be, my own idea. And so I stopped going to church when I was sort of allowed to stop going, I suppose, as a sort of late teenager. And then when I went to university, when I went to dance school, because I trained at Laban, the contemporary dance school, I didn't tell anyone as a Christian. I didn't actually know if that label belonged to me anymore. And I stopped going to church, kind of as a bit of an experiment, I suppose, of who am I without that part of my life. And I actually have to say it was just very lonely. And I spent several years sort of searching, and then came back to faith, or it feels like coming home, I suppose. But in your own understanding, and sometimes I describe it a bit like Father Christmas. You don't want to believe things just because your parents tell you that they're true. And so rather like finding out Father Christmas wasn't real, spoiler, don't be listening with young children. But I was like, is God real? And I really needed to figure that out for myself. So I started going to a church. It was in a bar. We did church in a bar in Soho on a Wednesday night. So it was all quite different to how I'd been brought up going to church. And that was where I really kind of wrestled with it and found a new faith for myself. So that was in my early mid 20s, I think. So I'd already been through my dance school, been through my postgraduate in contemporary dance, which I also did, went to Leeds for that. And all of that time I was kind of searching, and it was also, there's so many coincidences, popping up. Like the person I lived with in Leeds, she went to church, and I went along with her a few times because I never really let go of the idea of God and faith. But as I just said, it needed to be something I found for myself. Whole time through that, I was dancing, dancing, dancing. And I had actually, I'd seen examples, like it's actually jogging my memory. I had seen examples of dance and faith linked. I remember going to Spring Harvest as a child and seeing people dance with sort of, flags or just sort of interpretive, expressive dance. And I remember dancing in church for some, sort of productions and things. So it had been something that I'd sort of used within my sort of journey of faith at the beginning, or had examples of. But it wasn't till sort of coming back, doing a sort of full circle, that I really felt God was telling me to use my skills and talents sort of for my greater purpose. And this is sort of where, what I've ended up doing, which is a combination of movement sort of stemming from dance and the sort of choreography of an expression of dancing with exercise, because I sort of sidestepped, as lots of people do in the performance industry, sidestepped into being a Pilates instructor and into the fitness industry, where I'd feel a real sort of meeting of everyday people. Because I trained as a contemporary dancer. Sorry, you'll have to interrupt me at some point. I trained as a
No, it's so
contemporary dancer.
fascinating. Keep going, it's great.
So contemporary dance is kind of like artsy, and I remember my parents coming to see me and be like, what does it mean? And I was like, I don't know. This is lots of it's up for interpretation, and it's not everyone's cup of tea necessarily, or they don't have a link to it that is part of their life. Not everyone goes to the theatre or goes to sort of artsy stuff, but exercise is something that everybody does in some way, shape, or form, or knows that they need to do, because it's just something the human body, it craves, it wants to, and it doesn't need to even need to be labeled as exercise. It's just to move, because we have bodies that are designed to move. So, sort of circling back here, meandering, if you will, Lucy,
Love the meander.
meandering.
Love it.
That's where I felt God was like, you've got these skills now. You've got this passion for dance. You've got these skills in making movement accessible to everybody and actually really ministering to the physical self through movement with my exercise background. And then, you know, where does God fit in there and what's his purpose for me in my life? And that was kind of how Psalms and Stretches was born, was this, I describe it sometimes as a Venn diagram of the things you're good at, or you're interested in, or the talents and skills God's honed in you. And so that was where this has now evolved. But I always, my good friend, and actually she works at Psalms and Stretches with me, my co-director, Emma, she actually was the pastor at the church I went to, which was the nightclub in Soho, on a Wednesday evening. And she once said to me that our skills and talents, God put us in them. God put them in us. Sorry, two small children. God put them in us to enjoy for ourselves. And, you know, being a dancer and, you know, going to auditions and really, really trying and wanting someone to like say that you were good and wanting to earn money from your passion. And, you know, it really puts that, you want to please people. You want to be good enough. You want to make this work. And actually to go, your skills and your talents are for you to enjoy, is a really like wild way of thinking of it. And it comes from such a generous God who's like our parent, who goes, you know, you don't have to perform for me. You don't have to make me proud in that sort of like, you know, my parents were so supportive, but they didn't understand the performance world necessarily. You know, they both had sort of normal jobs. And so I think they always kind of worried about me, like, would I be okay? And it's just, I think you carry a lot of sort of expectations, or, you know, we all do in life, of like, are we gonna succeed in our chosen career? And to hear that my skills and talents as a dancer were just for me to enjoy felt quite quite amazing. I didn't have to be winning the praise of someone else. It was, maybe I just like dancing for the pure joy of it. Yeah. And it wouldn't even matter if I didn't, you know, become a successful contemporary dancer. Because spoiler, yeah. I didn't, but
yeah. But that's so powerful, and you've touched on a few things there. I mean, going back a little bit in your conversation about your faith journey, I think that's such an encouragement to those listening who maybe have teenagers or young adult children who have kind of, for the moment at least, rejected what they were brought up with. And I think your story and many others like you is just so encouraging to parents to know, you know, keep praying for your children. There's no end point to your faith journey. You know, while you're still on this earth, you still have an opportunity to turn back to God. And we see it time and time again, people coming back to faith at university or in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, you know, and keep going. So thank you for encouraging us.
The whole time that I, you know, kind of had rejected faith, or that sort of the label or the pressure or the I would still get my mum to pray for me. It's like I knew there was such a truth in it, yet I didn't know where I stood with God. And if there's something big happened, or something was, you know, I really needed something, I would, you know, tell my mum about it, and I said, you can pray for me, you can pray for me, because it's you know, it works. And my mum's been my like biggest, you know, prayer warrior. Like when I wasn't praying, I knew that she would be praying for me.
Ruth, have there been any challenges to live as a Christian in the world of dance?
I think there are. I'd say one of the biggest things that's the shift is how you view your body. And, you know, I think, you know, as dancers and performers, you can be very self-critical. You can be really striving to be something that's employable, that someone else will want. I remember, you know, getting new headshots or body shots and being like, oh, I need to dress sexy. And I think there's a definite readjustment in seeing yourself how God sees you, or holding on to that if possible, you know, throughout, when you could, you know, especially, I mean, talking specifically in the dance industry, you could turn up to an audition and just know that you weren't the right body they were looking for. So it doesn't even matter, you know, you don't necessarily even have to start dancing. I think that is probably, for me, the one I could recognize that would mean is at odds with what we know about ourselves as children of God, as people that were designed with bodies, you know, to be vessels for the Holy Spirit, to, you know, carry us through life. They're precious, they're God designed, they're all different shapes and sizes, and yet, yeah, in some of the sort of arts industries and the sort of the dancer body, I think we can be so harsh with ourselves, and that's something that we talk about a bit in our Psalms and Stretches instructor training, because, you know, it can be quite a vulnerable place to come to a class or a movement class or a dance class and move your body. And some people have, you know, a really disjointed relationship with it. Whereas, you know, we weren't meant to be body, mind, soul, spirit, everything in harmony and communicating. And some people feel really out of touch with their bodies. And yeah, I think that's probably, one of the things I sort of had to relearn of really loving myself.
Moving the conversation kind of towards our children now, Ruth, and your mum as well. How can dance and movement help our children to connect with God? Because I know lots of us listening, myself included, have children who are involved in dance, who go to dance classes, or just children who love to move their bodies, maybe, you know, at the school disco or the party, they're the first on the dance floor. How can we make the connection between that and worship and connecting with God?
Well, I think this really links back to what we were just saying about being designed by God. One thing that I love about sort of movement is that it's a real kind of like translator for like what's going on inside. And I think you see that really obviously with small children. Like, they do a happy dance, you know, they start going from one foot to the other. And just thinking of my toddler when we went on holiday and she was in the swimming pool just up to her knees in a really toddler pool, and she was just so happy. You could see it in her body, the splashing, the moving, it's just an extra communication tool or an extra way to express yourself. So I would absolutely encourage like everybody to take some kind of dance or movement class, because I think we lose it. We lose it from being a toddler, from being, you know, a child, from being quite not self-conscious and expressive through every sort of means possible. It comes out physically, doesn't it? In their big emotions. You need to be able to have a physical outlet. Mm. And yet, as we get older, we shut down that. We have to sort of control our bodies and look sensible. And with adults, the only time sometimes some people dance is, you know, at a wedding after several drinks, and there's still that joy in it. But
yeah, but I think self-consciousness really kicks in, doesn't it, sort of in adolescence. Yeah. And some of us find it hard then to move away from that.
Absolutely. So I think encouraging a celebration of yourself, and then just the link and the reiteration that you are God's creation is just a really like natural way to celebrate your body, being able to move it and be expressive through it, and then expressing, you know, our joy and our gratefulness to God who made it. And so I take my toddler to a dance class, and it's, I say dance quite loosely. I actually used to teach this dance class as well, from 18 months to 4 years old. They're really little. And so much of it is just about learning their body parts and learning how to move them and the different ways that they move. So I remember when I first started teaching that class, and, you know, coming from a serious dancing background with my degree in dance and stuff, and I was like, they're not doing it right. Like, they can't pick this up. And then now I come as a, you know, as a mum with my kid, and the teacher is just so wonderful. And it's not about getting it right. And, you know, we say this in our Psalms and Stretches class, it's not about always getting it right. It's just about being able to move and to express yourself and to have that that relationship with your body, that it's just like talking, or it's like walking, or it's like another sort of outlet of emotion. And I think that then that's a wonderful way to then honor God and to worship God. And you know, in our Psalms and Scriptures exercise class, you could think it's just exercise, or you could think it's a dance class, but we're like, it's worship. It's moving our body. It's stewarding. It's like taking care of it, which honors God, because it's like, we are his people and his children. So we want to look after ourselves. And so even in its very act, it's worship, celebrating sort of means. So yeah, absolutely encourage your children to dance. But I think the best way to do that is just doing it yourself. And it's doing those silly dances in the kitchen. It's to, you know, just stop a crying toddler in a pushchair, just doing jazz hands. It's, you know, it's any moment that you can. And it doesn't always have to be joyful as well. I remember from some of my dance training, just being really able to connect with other emotions through movement. And I think that, you know, some of the Psalms, for example, they are laments. They are like, you know, you can see it. I'm doing it, I'm physicalizing it.
Yes,
they are the innermost like parts of our soul. And being able to express that physically is such a gift. Mm. You know, reading prayers and saying prayers is wonderful, but being able to actually physicalize and move, it's just like an extra layer of
And I guess praying. We see it in a toddler who is having a tantrum and sort of meltdown, and they're throwing their body on the floor, and they're very, very physical with it. So I suppose I've never really thought of that before as a kind of way that they're expressing, you know, is some kind of movement, isn't it, that's expressing what is inside them. And maybe we should be kind of leaning into that a little bit more as parents as well, and kind of validating the movement that accompanies the emotion, you know, as long as it's not hitting their sibling.
I know. It's strange as well, because you think actually no hitting, absolutely. But to see angry movements can be quite alarming as an adult. And, you know, we've sort of trained ourselves to sort of not do anything threatening, because that's bad behavior. But just a child like really expressing anger, we do it with my toddler, and I just got this idea from Instagram parenting, but it's like just to pick up cushions and, you know, throw them on the ground. And this kind of like heavy work kind of and a sort of forceful arm, it may look a bit sort of threatening, like, oh, I hope you're not going to lamp me with that cushion. But actually, like, anger is kind of, you know, it's sort of visceral. It's sort of, I think it really helps to physicalize things. And even if they are quite angry and thrashy, yes, absolutely, safe boundaries, safe so that you're not going to hurt anyone else. But when you see your child angry and it looks alarming, I would it's helpful to remember that, you know, we as adults, we could just express that with words, but how else are they going to get it out?
Children can't articulate, certainly sort of 2-3 years old, but I find even older children can't always, well, I mean, even adults sometimes struggle to articulate how they're feeling and why, but movement is a kind of very obvious way of communicating. That's a really helpful thought. Thank you so
much. It's a real like medicine as well. I think it's real, sort of healing medicine, being able to move through things and properly process them in and out of your body.
Ruth, what about our children who are perhaps getting quite serious about dance, maybe as you were sort of looking into further study or maybe even a career in dance? What kind of advice would you give parents and carers who have Christian kids who are wanting to pursue dance? Are there any kind of top tips for you?
Well, I'd say one we've already covered, just pray for them. I really appreciated my parents' kind of unconditional support, even though they didn't understand the industry, so I would just say, you don't have to have the answers, you don't have to know about it. If your child is interested, then just, you know, supporting them with your love and your encouragement. And I would say this one that I'm going to probably have a challenge to later, but trusting God with your children, because we can't make the decisions for them, and we can't change the world around them so that they will have an easy career path. And I'm sure there are times that my parents worried about me. No, the degree in contemporary dance, what is she going to do with that? But I know that, you know, now with that whole Venn diagram thing of God uses absolutely everything. And I never once regret my dance degree, even though I'm not dancing on a stage right now. I'm absolutely using all the skills that I gained from it. So I would say, you know, take heart in the fact that it's going to be really great for communication and being able to express ideas and for their own kind of emotional intelligence, and not necessarily, but like, I feel like you get so much, we did talk about our feelings a lot in contemporary dance, you get so much of these sort of extra skills that aren't necessarily spreadsheets or tax returns. Do help them with their tax return.
All the help we can get.
But if you're, you know, if your child is wanting a career in dance, or you can't guarantee that, you know, they will be on the West End stage, but at the same time you can show your unconditional love and support, and you can just pray hard for them. And but also I think my parents did always instill a good sort of hard working ethic and several options. So like, I also trained as a Pilates instructor later on, and do sports massage, and, you know, lots of strings to the bow is always a good one in the performance industries.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. And I think you've really kind of, I didn't even ask really about this, but you've addressed that fear that parents might have, especially if they are not from that background, and it can look like a sort of slightly dodgy career path. Like, is my child going to end up in work? Are they going to get a job? But like you say, God uses your gifts and talents. He uses those transferable skills. It's really good. It's all good. So thank you. That's some great advice right there. I also feel like you've kind of touched on a parenting faith key tool there, which is surfing the waves, you know, kind of getting alongside your children with their interests at the season of life they're at, you know, whether that's an interest that lasts their whole childhood, adolescence and into adulthood, or whether it's just kind of for a few weeks or a term or two, they do a bit of dance and then they step out of it. Actually getting alongside, encouraging our children, encouraging them to meet God through what they're doing, praying for them. It's just so valuable. So thank you so much. Ruth, tell us about Psalms and Stretches, where we can find you online. Tell us all the things we need to know.
You can find out all about Psalms and Stretches online, psalmsandstretches.com. We have several instructors all over the country now who will do in-person Psalms and Stretches classes. So maybe there is a local Psalms and Stretches instructor to you. Do have a look. But also we do online classes. So if we haven't quite catered for your area with our instructor network, you can do an online class. I do one at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday. So I'd love to see you there. It's 45 minutes of stretching and meditating on the Word of God. So rather like dance in a way, we do a moving meditation where we match the words of the psalm to exercise moves. So it's almost like it's a moving meditation. I call it a psalm sequence, and it's a little bit of choreographed movement. And that way we can remember the psalm. It's sort of not only in our minds, but it's in our bodies, it's in our very sort of muscle memory. That's normally towards the end of the class. The beginning feels a bit more like a Pilates stretch class. So it's great for first thing in the morning to get yourself going and to really set up the day with a prayer and looking at scripture from the Book of Psalms. We also did a mini series with TBN, the Christian Television Network, and that's available on demand. So if you look at TBN, you can find that via our website as well. But then there's 10 mini episodes and they're just 10 minutes long. So you get a really good sort of little taster of what class is like. And they're all available already.
That's a great option. That's brilliant. Thank you. That's a great option for those of us who need to be flexible. But presumably, can we bring our toddler along to the 8 a.m. class? Does it matter if we got baby toddlers?
You can. I get rid of mine in the morning. I just cannot concentrate. But yeah, when we launched our online classes in the pandemic, of course we did, like everybody else. And yeah, people were doing it with their kids, dogs, anyone. not to put kids and dogs in the same category, but
living creatures, yes.
Your whole family.
My house is full of kids and dogs, so that totally makes sense to me. It sounds brilliant. Thank you so much, Ruth. We'll put all those links in the show notes, and obviously people can go follow you on Instagram and Facebook, I think you're on.
Psalms and Stretches.
Yeah, we'll pop that in the show notes. But for now, thank you so much. It's been such an interesting discussion. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Welcome. Yes, you're welcome.
As a non-dancer, I found that interview super interesting, and I hope you did too. Here's a question to ask your children this week. What is your favourite way to dance and why? What is your favourite way to dance and why? That's it for this week. See you next week, same time, same place on the podcast, or next Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. on our Facebook page as we look at different ways to engage kids and teens in worship. See you there. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.